This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. So the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in season 4, episode 78, I talk with British runner Adam Fogg. This was always supposed to be a quick catch-up just to check in on Foggy's running this year, and we touched on also the Olympics last year because he wasn't too far off making that British team, particularly in the 1500 metres. Foggy, he's a Brit by nature, but he was here in Australia for years, part of the BERT squad. I was training in the BERT squad just after he had left it, albeit him far faster than I am. He moved back overseas about almost 4 years ago now, and we chatted on this very podcast in August 22. At that time, he just changed his allegiance back to being a Brit, and he was overseas too for about a year in both of those respects. And we had a fantastic conversation, a longer one, and it must have been about episode 15, where back then podcasts weren't as prominent as they are now. So equipment for me as well wasn't as quality. I was on a Jabra headset, and things have changed very much now for me in that front with a proper microphone. But anyway, today Adam spoke about, yes, the Olympics, as I mentioned, but also his racing in America at start this year. He's run as quickly as 3:49 in that mile. And if you've been following athletics in Australia and around the world, particularly the indoors and the track events over summer, you'd know that Cameron Myers now matches Ollie Hoare, both indoor and outdoor respectively, in that 1500, sorry, in the mile event, where they both run at 3:48. So Foggy isn't too far off them. Just to show you some perspective as to where he is now, he was grinding it years ago, just getting faster and faster as part of that BERT squad. He was the pin-up boy here in Brisbane and did move over about 4 years ago. And his running has just really, really accelerated. If you follow him on Instagram, he's a fantastic follower. He's got a large followership now, but years before, all these run influencers were doing these sort of clips in the morning of their runs, showing what they're eating and having coffee before they're heading out the door, making it all look pretty and enticing and marketable. Foggy was out there about 5 years ago on YouTube doing this himself. His dad used to film it. He used to sort of G up the morning in the dark in winter here in Brisbane and speak about what he was about to do in his session and go and execute it. And I thought those videos were very insightful. So if you've got time to wind back the clock and jump into Foggy about 5 years ago, and his YouTube channel still stands till this day, then please, I highly recommend giving it a go. He's such a good talker. He's 26. He's just mature far beyond his years, and he's got so much time and ability and talent to show us over the next 10 to 15 years in almost all events, but at the moment very much around this 1500 meters. So I wish Foggy the best of luck this year. I hope you enjoy this listen. It was about 8:30 a.m. here in Brisbane time, where I'm speaking from, and Foggy was over in Baltimore. I caught him just before heading out for dinner, but as I mentioned, it was always meant to be a quick catch-up, and it was 7 p.m. his time. So thank you again for listening, and enjoy.
Well, so as a teacher, employee, college, I can use that training for my life, so it's obviously
Well, officially, welcome back, Adam Fogg, to the Local Legends in Running podcast.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's good to be back. I forget when we actually first brought it
Well,
up.
mate, I've looked that
Last
up. It's pretty scary, Foggy.
couple of years.
3 years ago, 2022 in August. So a lot has changed since then. Any idea of what you were running for, say, 1500 meters back then? I've got a sort of 337 or 8 in my head.
Yeah, it was my PB was 337.96 from July 2022. So fresh off the back of that when we recorded for the first time. So yeah, that's definitely come down a little bit. Probably not quite as much as I would like. Hopefully this year another chunk off that. But yeah, wow, it's been a while.
It has. Is it sat now at 334 or 534?
Yeah, 334. But it's funny, I keep running 1500 PBs during mile races. Like, as a 1500 split, I keep PBing in mile races. So hopefully this year we'll kind of get into a few decent 1500s and be able to get down, hopefully a little bit quicker. Based on what I've run for the mile, I'd like to think I could go a couple of seconds quicker, but haven't done it yet. So hopefully this year, though. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. A bit of perspective too. Last time we spoke in 22, you must have just changed your allegiance too, to be a Brit from an Australian
Yeah.
as well. You just moved
Probably
overseas too, I think.
yeah, I think it was a year and a half before that, in 2021. I'd switched back because my parents were moving back to the UK. And I'm from England. I grew up in Brisbane, obviously, but yeah, just at the time wanted to make a Euro and under 23 team in 2021, switch back, and yeah, that's kind of the way the story went. Yeah, questionable decision, I think, because of how tough it is to make GB teams. But to be honest, Australia is extremely strong at the moment as well in the 1500 and the 5K, so yeah, neither of those teams are easy to make, but yeah, just gotta keep plugging away, try and make as many as I can.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? 1500 we'll talk about surely, because the 1500 has been part of the Australian champs just recently on the weekend, along with that 5K too. Seth O'Donnell, up and comer. You almost might not have heard of him unless you followed his Instagram presence. He's pretty prevalent. But more perspective too. You run a 3:49 now for that mile, and we've got guys like Cam Wise and Ollie Hoare. I think that Australian record is matched, although Cam was indoors doing
Yeah.
that and Ollie outdoors. So, we're talking only a second here. And I've got experience of running with you, Foggy, at the Burt Squad in Brisbane years ago. It almost worked out that I'd
Yeah.
sort of joined up after you'd left. And even if I was there with you, you'd probably be miles ahead of me anyway. But you've come from this real grounded background of just chipping away for a number of years now. Moving overseas has certainly accelerated that. Like, if you followed your journey, Foggy's journey from the YouTube days, from like, when was that? Sort of 7 years ago, those were around. I reckon you were before the
I
times with
started
that.
it in 2020, just kind of as COVID was beginning.
Yeah,
Yeah,
5 years ago.
when I was
And
over at
isn't that a
college.
hit now that
Yeah.
the run influencers or running influencers putting up like clips filming themselves in the morning before they're heading out for a run? And that was you years ago on YouTube, on the rise
Yeah.
and always a strong runner, but it certainly has accelerated over the last year or so. But if we sort of backtrack quickly to the Olympics, even, like I know you weren't selected to go there as a Brit, but could you give us some perspective there about how far off were you in terms of, we're talking only a second or two in the 1500, for example, or even a perspective of place, like how far down that order you were? Okay.
Yeah, well, I had the qualifying standard in terms of the qualifying time. So for the Olympics, it was 3:33.5 in the 1500 or 3:50 for the mile. I think I've got that right. So I dipped under 3:50 for the mile, got the qualifying time out of the way, and then it really all came down to running at the UK trials in Manchester at the end of June last year. basically the way the selection policy works in the UK is top two at the trials are guaranteed. They're automatic qualifiers if they have the time standard. So you have to have that time standard, and then if you're in the top two, you get selected. If you're not in the top two, then it's kind of discretionary. So Josh Kerr was 2023 world champ, so he didn't it, based on kind of some of the selection criteria, he didn't have to run the 1500 at trials. He pretty much had that discretionary spot locked up as world champion. So we all kind of knew at the trials it was top two or bust, you know, top two go, and then Josh Kerr gets that third spot guaranteed pretty much. And I was third at the trials. So yeah, had the qualifying time. If four people could go, I probably would have had that spot, although it is discretionary. They could have taken someone else with a qualifying standard. But yeah, pretty much it came down to being third at the trials, and top two went. So Neil Gawley won it, George Mills second, and me in third. So tough, but that's the way it goes. And to be honest, going into that race, I knew Neil and George are really strong. They're great competitors and have run faster than I have, so I knew it was going to be really tough. I gave it my all, and yeah, just ended up missing out on the day, but it's the way it goes. Gotta, yeah, fight on and try and make it 2028, I guess.
Yeah, and see, moving over to places over in Britain, the quality is still very much there, you know, if not stronger than Australia. Of course, going to America is even different, but any other country almost, you know, you'd be almost a certain selection in the Olympics, but so close. But how old are you now, Foggy? Are you mid-20s? And you know, there's more.
26 now.
26.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got world champs coming up. We've got Olympics now 3 years away. So certainly these large scale events are certainly on the radar for you.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And I'm now fortunate enough to have the Tokyo time standard for the 1500. So, and because Josh Kerr is current world champion, as long as he takes up his wild card spot, then three other Brits can go. So it does open up a fourth spot. Yeah, the world champs outdoors would be huge to qualify for. I have that time. And now basically I think still need to be top two at the trials, but then there will be an extra discretionary spot. I think that'll be how it works. Could be
Okay.
wrong though. But yeah, just gotta train well these next few months, and try and be in the top two start of August at the UK trials.
Awesome. Before we get there, let's just touch on that 1500 here in Australia on Australian soil, because if you're in that, for example, it's hard to compare, isn't it? Because especially those shorter events and the 1500 can be either super quick or it could be just a full of tactics and running out slowly, but it was one in a time of 3:34, and you just mentioned that as your PB, none other than Cameron Myers. But isn't the depth in that event across the world right now and in Australia almost better than it has ever been? That's probably maybe disregarding Elgar Rouge and his time that's still so far ahead of a lot of runners at 3:26. But that race just showed me how strong Australian running is right now, hey?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's so strong, and Cam's running so well. He's obviously been kind of up and coming the last couple of years and has shown great potential. You know, running really fast times, but times that wouldn't quite kind of compete on the world stage. But he's now turned 18 and is running times that realistically now he really can compete at the highest levels. So yeah, it's great. And yeah, you saying about the depth of 1500 running, it is unbelievable. I feel like it's, in terms of depth, I think it's the best it's ever been. Trying to make teams and trying to compete to, you know, try and, once you're on those teams, try and even make a final, or yeah, just everything has got so much stronger. And obviously the Elgar Rouge era, that time is still at the top, but I think the depth has come such a long way. And yeah, there are so many guys now running like 3:35. And 3:35 used to be looked at as a really, really strong time. So Yeah, times have definitely changed, but it's an exciting time to be a 1500 runner, and yeah, the bar keeps getting pushed higher, and you just got to kind of keep working hard to keep up with it.
He does. We've almost got 10 runners, I reckon, under 335 in Australia right now. They raced well based on previous PBs, maybe seven or eight. If I'm 10, maybe it's a slight exaggeration, but I'm pretty close with that. Don't you agree? And, do these guys also inspire you, Foggy? Not that you're necessarily back here in Australia or an Australian by the papers, but certainly I would assume that there's something there pushing you along from Australian soil.
Oh, for sure. And I have my passport, so yeah, I've got a little bit of Australian. Not in me necessarily, but I have my passport. So yeah, I'm always keeping up to date with results and watching races where I can, live if time zones permit, and live streams as well. It's often pretty hard to find them. But yeah, 100%, it's very inspiring, and yeah, I think seeing other people do well just pushes runners on to make sure that they're getting the best out of themselves. So yeah, just gotta make sure that I keep doing my best to compete at the highest level.
Yeah, and another runner who is Australian has been over in America, similar to yourself, on and off, is Kai Robinson, and he featured in that 5K. He won the Moree Plant the week earlier on the weekend, but just the weekend gone in this in the Australian champ, Seth O'Donnell, up and comer in the last 2 years, has just risen literally to the top now, winning that race. It was a slow race by terms of time, a high 13 for the 5K. These guys can all run low 13s, but both these guys really impressing me. And Kai, he's run the 3K indoor record too, Australian record over in America in the last month or so as well. So exciting to watch these two.
Oh, very, yeah. And I hadn't actually heard of Seth until probably a month ago. And I think I saw that he ran a 336, 1500, and yeah, it's kind of emerged very rapidly. But yeah, Australian 5K champ, and I think he ran 13:14 at the Moree Plant
Yes.
meet against Kai. So yeah, he's obviously running really well, and it'll be exciting to see what else he does this year.
Yeah, well, let's get to you for this year anyway. And I've tried to track you as much as I can, Foggy. I track running very closely, but of course, over in America and Europe, it can be hard to watch them to obtain results, all that kind of stuff, language barriers at times. But yeah, got a few
Yeah.
details down here for you that you sent through. Thanks for that. 149 800 season opener in late January, the Dr. Sander Mile. I'm assuming these are all indoors at this time of year in America. 353, third behind again, Cam Myers and Festus Lagat. Then start of February, the Boston Uni Mile. This was the impressive one. The 349 high behind Ethan Sprand and Rob Farkin. Now start of Feb with that 740. And then the UK indoors and the Euro indoors, the world champs too. So this was an exciting time for you, but you've expressed to me and online to a degree that you weren't so happy about those there. But how do you reflect on the last sort of, what is it now? April, mid-April, the last sort of 4 months, Foggy?
Yeah, I think indoor has been solid. I wouldn't say it's been anything incredible. I think for me last year, going into 2024, I'm running a 349 mile at Millrose. That was like a really big breakthrough. This year, I've run 349 again, a little bit slower, but still 349 again, which is really solid. And I was pretty happy to run under 350 again. My big goals of the indoor season were to kind of qualify for Euro indoors and World indoors, and I did end up going to both, but didn't make a final at either of them. And that is obviously disappointing, and I kind of don't put it down to me running badly. I just think the standard is so high now that you really, really have to be at your very best to compete, to qualify for a final at championships like that. So yeah, I mean, to not make either of the finals is definitely disappointing, but kind of have to also be realistic with where I'm at. And yeah, that is currently just not quite getting into those finals, but hopefully a good few months of training now and try and qualify for Tokyo and see how far I can get in that.
Well, let's talk about where you are at. What's training look like at the moment, and what's on the agenda that is really specifying training for you?
Yeah, so we do a lot of strength-based kind of threshold training. I think that's kind of the way everyone goes these days. So we're kind of on a 9-day training cycle. So we have day 3 double threshold, day 6 double threshold, but with hills in the afternoon, and day 9 we do a hard long run. We long run fairly aggressively, and I've talked about this a little bit before. And on YouTube, kind of saying that I think these hard long runs are one of the best things that we do. It's very different to a lot of kind of training philosophies, but I think we get reasonably strong in the winter, and then in the kind of base building periods doing these hard long runs, just to kind of give you that strength that you need to be a really good 1500 up to 5K runner. So training right now, I've actually got a bit of a sore right knee. So I've had a couple of days off completely and had a little jog today. So I'm hoping that I'm through the worst of it. It's just been a little bit painful. Not really sure what's caused it. I think just kind of getting back into full training after a bit of a break post indoors. But should be good to get back into jogging now, and hopefully, hopefully the worst of the knee injury is done and can kind of get back into the full swing of things and be back to full training.
Yeah, agree. And do we know the injury yet? Have you had a diagnosis for it?
Not an official diagnosis, like haven't had a scan, but I've been to PT, physical therapy, and basically it's kind of linked to having tight IT bands and hips and all of that sort of stuff. So doing a little bit of rehab stuff for it and a little bit of stretching and rolling and that kind of thing. Nothing too specific, just because it's a pretty minor injury, literally just a sore knee. But it's made running pretty uncomfortable the last few days, so I've had to kind of manage it, have a couple of days off, but should be all good, and should be good to get back into the swing of things pretty swiftly. I'm not too worried about this keeping me out for too many days,
Yeah, fingers
hopefully.
crossed. Fingers crossed. Can we dive a little bit more into that threshold running in the long run there? Because most of the guests, as you probably know, Foggy on this podcast, aren't 1500 meter runners. We're talking, well, I'm talking mainly to road runners, you know, half marathoners, marathoners, some 10K runners. I just want to sort of work out what is your weekly mileage, and a long run in it's all relative, isn't it? Because I'm assuming it's going to be around what 90 minutes, sort of sub 4 minute Ks on average. Am I correct in saying that? And how does the threshold stuff work in the week?
The long runs will get up to I'll go up to 30-ish K.
Wow.
And we do go reasonably hard. So we kind of have a plan of getting down to like 520, 530 per mile, which is kind of 320 to 325 per K. But if we feel really good, we kind of have a bit of freedom to run more of the long run at that quicker pace. As in, what I mean by that is the more fit you are, the more time you spend at that quicker pace. So if you're kind of early in the base season, you might spend the first kind of 10K or the first 40 to 50 minutes kind of building up to that pace, and then you spend the last whatever at the quicker pace. But the more fit you are, kind of the more time you spend at the quicker pace. So my best one ever, I did 30 at 3:13, 3:13 per K, about 5:10, 5:11 per mile. But usually they're kind of more in the range of 25 ish K, 16-ish miles, at kind of 5:30-ish per mile, 3:25-ish per K. along those lines, but haven't had those for a while because I obviously have been injured the last few days, and during racing season the training changes quite a lot, so we won't be doing those hard long runs. They're kind of like a proper base and winter training kind of thing that we use. But I do love them and I think they're great for getting fit and strong. And then the threshold work is kind of sessions vary from 800 reps up to like 3 mile reps. We don't usually do like a full continuous long threshold rep, as in we don't go out and do like a 8 mile or like a 12, 13K kind of continuous. Usually we break it up into smaller reps, whether it's like 10 by K or 12 by 800, 6 by mile, stuff like that. And on those double session days, we'll do something like that in the morning and then come back in the afternoon and do something pretty similar. And the closer we get to racing season, the afternoon session kind of gets a little bit more specific and a little bit more intense. Sometimes we'll do a few quicker 300s, kind of more close to between 3K and 5K pace, a little bit more kind of VO2 max sort of work. But yeah, that's kind of some examples of the sort of threshold and long run work that we do.
Yeah, just to, again, relative to what you're running in reps. So for speed sessions, again, for the listeners to comprehend why these long runs appear so fast. Yet I'm sure they're comfortably fast, if that makes sense. Because you're running very low 2 minute K pace for these reps when we're running short reps. So to be running a 3:30, 40 pace for these is it must feel comfortable coming from that. But it's also got me thinking too, on those days, probably more so the threshold days. Is that the definition threshold change a little bit for a 1500 meter runner? Is it faster? Is it the pace you can hold for an hour, which is yet a general definition for it?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not great with all the science behind it, and we do a little bit of lactate testing with like the finger pricking and measuring your actual blood lactate levels, but we don't do that a whole lot. It's kind of a little bit more off feel and heart rate. I'm not great with the whole science behind it, but I think essentially you all runners have two lactate thresholds, LT1 and then LT2, and I think most of the time we're kind of trying to target that LT2, which I believe is that kind of 1 hour sort of pace. So if we're doing something like 10 by K, as an example, we've done double threshold days where we'll do 10 by K in the morning and 10 by K in the evening as well. And usually they'll hover around three flat, with a minute to 75 seconds between them. And that pace might vary from like 305 per K down to 255, something in that sort of range. And when we're doing that as a team, there's four of us on our team in Baltimore with Under Armour. We'll all run the same pace. No one is trying to, win the session. We take it in turns, leading reps, just to share the workload a little bit and kind of make it a bit easier to get through sessions of that volume and days of that volume, because you end up running about kind of 30-ish K on those big double session days.
Yeah, so what is the overall mileage then for the week? Is it near 100K?
When we're in full training, it's kind of 140, 150K, kind of 90-ish miles. Because we go on that 9 day cycle when we're not in our racing season, it kind of, the weeks, if you look at Strava, kind of go a little bit up and down because we go on a 9 day training cycle. So it doesn't always mean that every 7 days looks the exact same, but
No, and that's
every
what.
9 day hopefully do.
Yeah, and we're also stuck on that, aren't we? In both work and running, the 7 day cycle can simply be changed to match something that maybe suit you better. So it's an idea for listeners, whether you're faster or slower, older, younger. There's something to think about.
Yeah,
Talking about things
definitely.
we can think about, let's think about the months and year ahead, and how training's going to specify even more, and what races we've got lined up, and what goals that you've thought about setting for the year, Foggy.
Definitely. So we go off to altitude for the whole of May. We're going to Utah, so hopefully get a good few weeks of training in up at high altitude, come back nice and fit, and head straight over to Europe. Start racing mostly 1500s. So I do want to run a 5K. I want to see how close I can get to the standard in the 5K, which is 1301, so it's definitely pretty steep. But I would like to think I could go pretty close to that, so we'll see.
What's the PB now there, sorry? Is it close to
13
13?
17.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Yeah.
close to 13:10. Definitely there's time to chew off there, isn't there?
Yeah. It's a tall order, definitely. It's not an easy task. That's 16 seconds, 17 really, because you have to go under 1301 is obviously not an easy thing to do, but I think, yeah, I mean, I ran my 5K PB in September last year. It was kind of getting towards the end of a pretty long season, and I would like to think if I can run one on slightly fresher legs, but more recently well-trained legs, kind of coming off altitude, I think hopefully I could go a little bit quicker. So we'll have to wait and see. 13 minutes is pretty quick, so yeah, we'll have to stay tuned and find out what happens with that. But then, yeah, going more long term, later in the year, UK trials, try and make that team for Tokyo, in the 1500. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting. Obviously, there's names amongst that 1500 meter event that we know about there. But is there anyone else that is sort of closer to your ability or knocking on the door as well, Foggy, to move up to those higher ranks?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's honestly too many to name. It's crazy. 1500 running at the moment is unbelievably strong. I really don't think we've ever seen a time like it, and people will put it down to super shoes or, super spikes, whatever. I don't really think it comes down to that. I just think at the moment everyone is pushing so hard to be as good as they can, and we're really kind of seeing the results of that at the moment. And super shoes definitely help. I think they help you train hard and recover well, so that you can train hard more often. But yeah, honestly, there are 10 guys who you might not have even heard of in the UK who could run under 335 this year. It's
Wow.
so strong. And then that's not even kind of counting those top contenders that everyone knows about. So, yeah, it's definitely not an easy team to make, but yeah, we'll give it my all and hopefully can get it done and have the time qualifier already. So that's nice to have out the way now throughout the kind of main part of the season. I can just focus on trying to get in some good races and hopefully improve the PB a little bit and see what happens.
Good on you, mate. We're all following here from Australia and around the world potentially as well. Obviously some American
Thank
connections and
you.
over in Europe too. So good luck for the year and thanks for your insights. Today we're a bit short of time, but it was just to sort of catch up about how your running is traveling this year and looking ahead. So I appreciate all those insights into how things are tracking. And again, a massive good luck to you.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on again. It's been good, obviously being brief, but maybe we'll have to do another one and not leave it 3 years this time. Maybe we could do one postseason.
Yeah, close to 7 p.m. over there in Baltimore, and close to, well, just past now, 9 a.m. here at the moment. So appreciate your time today, Foggy, and all the best.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having
Cheers.
me.
Enjoy dinner. See
Cheers. Thank you.
ya. Did you know the local legends in running do online coaching? If you're interested, jump on Instagram into the bio and follow the links. If you've enjoyed listening to this series or episode or the podcast in general, jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thanks so much for tuning in.